This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on June 25th, 2009. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
We're ready to convene and we'll now proceed on agenda document 0937, entitled Proposed Agency Rule of Agency Procedures Audit Hearings. Commissioner McGann.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the first of what I hope will be several initiatives, sort of continuing what the Commission had started in 2006 under Chairman Toner, but mostly in 2007 under Chairman Lenhard. And now I really applaud the Chairman Walter's efforts on this. What this document is, and look at 37A, and it's from all six commissioners, which I think is really important to note, that although it doesn't really matter who had the initial draft and who had the idea and all that, I think what does matter is six commissioners have put their name on something, and I think that's an important statement at a time when some like to lampoon the agency for not being able to work together and all that sort of thing. I think this is a testament that that's simply not the case. But what this does is provide those who have been audited an opportunity to address the commission directly, which I think is important. It's something I thought was important before I joined the commission, and it became more important to me as a commissioner because, as anyone who's watched the commission for a while knows, when audit reports come through the commission, they're discussed, and then the auditors have to defend their work, and the person being audited never seems to really get in the mix to any significant degree. Although the auditors certainly work with them and represent their views in the audit report, there are many times where commissioners end up sparring with their own auditors in public, and that's sort of odd. It's even odder when it generally is on legal issues. What is the law? And audits are not really an opportunity to make new law. I don't think anyone thinks they're making new law, but there's always disagreements as to whether that is what's happening. So I think this will improve that, streamline the process of the commission, increase fairness, due process, that sort of thing, which I think is very important in an agency that does the sort of work that really gets at the heart of the democratic process. It makes sense that folks involved get to be heard. I don't have much else to say other than I want to thank my colleagues for coming together on this, and again thank the chairman for his leadership on the issue.
Thanks very much. Actually, I'd like to just note the fact that we started under then Chairman Weintraub in 2003, the beginning of a process to look at agency procedures, and then it's continued to a various degree of a success and non-success, but it was re-energized by then Commission or then Chairman McGann last fall, and that's really what brought us to our hearing in January. I am pleased that we are moving ahead. As we said at the hearing then, we're going to continue to have a series of meetings and look at all the issues that people have been saying over the years that we need to look at and vote them up one way or the other, so at least they'll see that we are listening and we're voting, and we may or may not adopt all the recommendations, but at least we're going to give it a shot at trying to address the more serious ones and give a decision one way or the other. Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is, I'm really glad we're doing this. This is the process for audit hearings is modeled off of our probable cause hearings, which have been pretty successful, I think. And oddly enough, I remember a couple of years ago going into Commissioner Toner's office and saying, you know, our terms are coming to an end. Why don't we do probable cause hearings before, you know, sort of as a final last hurrah for the two of us before we leave? And, you know, gee, here I am 2 years later, and Commissioner McGann showed up, and I think the first week that he was here, I ran into him in the hallway, and he said, hey, you know those probable cause hearings, why don't we do those in audits? And I said, well, that's a great idea. And so we've been We've been busy, but I'm glad that we were able to get this on paper, and I really appreciate all the back and forth over the last couple of days with exchanges of drafts and words going back and forth, and a few things got left out as the drafts were flying yesterday, and that's why we have 0937A, which is just an amendment of 0937. I did want to ask my colleagues about one issue, because I could go either way on this, but oh my gosh, we've got to put page numbers on it. That's very bad. Maybe we could oh, I guess when it goes in the Federal Register, we don't have to worry about page numbers, so that's okay. I was going to say we could do that as a technical amendment. But looking at the bottom of the second-to-last page, which is about the best way I can describe it here, the very last sentence, the very last carryover sentence, says, materials requested by the Commission and materials considered by the Commission in making its determination may be made part of the public record pursuant to the Commission's statement of policy regarding disclosure of closed enforcement and related files. And there's two issues that I want to raise with respect to that. One is that this we're not talking about closed enforcement, so that citation is probably not accurate. But the other issue there that I think is worth at least thinking about is that it's a fairly broad statement. I'm all for disclosure. I think transparency is great. I'd be happy to vote for it as is. But this is a fairly broad statement that covers all materials considered by the Commission and arguably could include a lot of informal back and forth between the auditors and the audited, and could, our staff has suggested, putting something like this in here could chill some of those conversations. So, as I said, I could go either way on this. I like disclosure, but I also don't want to chill productive working relationships between our staff and members of the regulated community. So I just sort of toss that out there to my colleagues as to whether we want to keep that in or take it out.
Any comment? Commissioner McGann.
I hear the concern. I think the language is drafted in a way to address the concern, think, which is why it's left in the permissive may, not the mandatory shall. It also cites an interim disclosure, an interim policy statement that needs to be memorialized in a rule, which I hope we do at some point in the not-too-distant future. And if nothing else, it may kickstart that, because now if there's an issue, we're going to have to just let's fix the real problem, not this problem. But I certainly understand the need for the auditors to, and people being audited, to have candid discussions as to what really happened. Because at the end of the day, we're seeking the truth here, not, you know, it's like a prosecutor's ethical duty, right? It's not to convict, it's to see that justice is done. So we want to get at the right answer and not have it get in the way. I'm not sure there's a better way to put it. Without and still acknowledge that there are, you know, public disclosure obligations, and the policy statement is not just closed enforcement, it's related files, so that's I see it as broader, and whether an audit's enforcement or not, that's you know, a fascinating academic discussion, not one that I think we need to have today, especially this soon before lunch. Do you have suggested alternative language? Because the intent is not to lock in the auditors or to stifle, and I think this language addresses your concern, because if you articulate it, I would share the same concern. But in my mind, it's not intended to chill that sort of discussion. So to the extent this serves as sort of the legislative history or the sort of explanation and justification for what this language means, there is agreement that we all share that concern. This language is not intended to reach into that sort of conduct, chill that sort of conversation. So if that's sufficient for you to support it, maybe we leave this language, but we're making the record clear.
Could we consider just saying any comment in the discretion of the Commission comment be made? That way it would be clear that it's something we may or may not do in a given case.
I think, again, the word, not to step on, Mr. Chairman, if I can be recognized.
Sure.
Okay. I think the may captures that, and I think that means it is up to the Commission. I don't know if we need to alter the language. I mean, we already have an A, and we have six names on this, and, you know, making amendments at the table and all that, but we could always play with if we had to pass it. But my sense is that this does what we're talking about.
I'll vote for it either way, Commissioner Weintraub.
I I had not focused. See, one word actually can make a big difference. I had not focused on the May in that context, and I think that's right. I think what will happen is as we move forward with this, we'll have to develop at least some internal standards on, because we don't want to have a random process of one committee ends up with all sorts of things on the public record and another one doesn't. So we'll have to, but I think we can develop that as we go along. I'd be comfortable with that. I would suggest that, to avoid the issue of, to avoid actually deciding whether audits are enforcement or not, although I suppose it could be related, I just suggest that after the word record, we put a period, and in lieu of pursuant to, we insert C, the commission statement of policy regarding disclosure of closed enforcement and related files.
Comment on that? Or anything else? Commissioner Bradley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I see your point as to the May, and I appreciate that, because one of the things I was concerned about was audit files may be incredibly voluminous and may contain material that committees rightly don't want made available to the public, bank records, personnel, lists of personnel, and pay stubs, that sort of thing. So I think I do think it's important that we have a common understanding of what that means. So I think we all appreciate this, the fullest disclosure possible with respect to the committee's sort of privacy and personal identifying information, that sort of thing, and with respect to the process itself of auditing and making sure that committees feel like they can be have candor and frank conversations with their auditors without having those splashed all over the public website. So I think this reaches a good compromise, and I appreciate the conversation about what this really means. And just with respect to the document as a whole, I'm happy to support the compromise that we've reached, the edited version in 37A. There was a lot of work going on yesterday to try to get these documents done, and I appreciate we were able to put one together this morning that had all of our names on it. And I do think we could have reached that conclusion yesterday as well. I'm glad we did today. And I do think that giving people an opportunity to address the commission on these reports is important, and I appreciate the work that my colleagues have done to move this initiative along.
Thank you. Further comment? Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thanks. Just a few very brief comments. I also want to thank my fellow commissioners for all the work that's been done. And as with almost any matter, I worked up on the Hill for a while, and whenever it finally gets to be time for the rubber to hit the road, there's always a scramble of activity. But I think that we've worked well together in order to put together, I think, a product that really will aid the process, I think, on the commission side and on the side of those who are subject to audits. Sometimes there's a criticism lodged that, if you provide too much process, too much due process, it's going to slow and bog things down too much. And I think in this case, it's actually going to do the opposite. I think that by being able to clarify issues early, especially the legal issues, and start to narrow those down at the initial threshold, it's actually going to speed the process along. When I first joined the commission, Commissioner McGann, then Chairman McGann, brought this issue up about the importance of having an audit hearing. And having never represented someone subject to an audit, it wasn't something that I was as familiar with. At that point, it was like, well, maybe that's a good idea. I don't know. And then we just had to go through a few audits to realize that oftentimes there are contested legal issues that really are the whole shooting match, and those really do need to be addressed at the threshold level. And I think that this will provide us an opportunity to address those early on, and I think that will then lead to a greater efficiency with how the commission then handles the remaining portion of the audit. But in addition to thanking my colleagues, I want to thank the staff. They do an amazing job, incredible energy levels, incredible work ethic, incredible smarts, and they do a tremendous job. And I think that their efforts and their extremely hard work on this needs to be noted as well.
Thank you very much. Any further comment? I certainly want to share the comments about the staff, and they have really worked very hard on this, and they really work well together, and it's been very helpful to all of us sometimes to bring us closer together very quickly with a lot of really productive conversation going back and forth, as it was the last couple of days. But if I understand it, we had it was really close to a motion to adopt agenda document 0937-A with the punctuation suggestions by Commissioner Weintraub.
Yeah, I think we ought to let Commissioner McGann make the formal motion. There
okay.
hasn't been
Commissioner McGann?
Sure. Thanks. I move Commission adoption of agenda document number 09-37-A with one amendment, last page, first line, strike pursuant to, insert a period, two spaces, C, capital S-E-E.
In italics.
Still dictating.
A, what's that? Pardon?
Back in the practice, you're dictating here.
Right. That's right. And I support that because really Commissioner Weintraub does make a good point. That is really probably the proper site because if we do change the policy statement, implement a rule, then something's pursuant to that, you know, just legally, I think this is the it improves the document. So I'm going to support my own motion as under Robert's rules I must. Otherwise, I couldn't make the motion. But that is my motion, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. All in favor?
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, excuse me,
we
Mr.
were
Calvert.
Just wondering if the commissioner could add to his motion the authority for OGC to make in consultation with the commission appropriate technical and conforming changes and to place it in federal register format.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Calvert. Yes, that is part of my motion. That was implicit.
No, it's
in
explicit.
My, in my motion.
All right, thank you very much for that clarification. Ready for vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes gladly 6-0. We have agenda item 0738 that dates to a notice to relates to notice to non-response to respondents and non-complaint generated matters that will be put over to the next open session. If it's the will of the commission, we can proceed on agenda document 0939, or we can come back at 2:00. We like our procedure. We're going to continue with agenda document 0939. We need to discuss it. Commissioner McGann, do you want to lead off on this?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is another change, and since I've already done the big speech on change, we don't need to do it again. This one addresses advisory opinions, another issue we've spotted where the odd situation, we saw it this morning, people requesting advisory opinions show up and listen, but they really don't get to participate in discussion. Occasionally the commissioners have questions, and questions that really only could happen probably at the last minute once the debate actually happens. Remember, advisory opinions have to be done in open meeting because it's the deliberation of the commission. So the commission really can't have a six-way meeting behind closed doors and figure out where it is, and a lot of times issues do not really emerge until all six people talk as they must in open meetings. So this is designed to allow requesters to have a say when commissioners have questions, so we don't have the awkward situation like we did this morning with two different AOs where counsel to both requesters were sitting in the audience. And you know, before I got here, this was a situation that I had encountered. And in fact, it was an AO where I recall sitting in the front row, and Commissioner Weintraub actually pointed out that she couldn't help herself but look at me to see my facial reaction, and that
because you're so expressive,
and
Commissioner.
Thank you. I think
and so receptive.
I'd even be more expressive if I didn't have to lean up and speak into the mic. If we had, like, you know, headset mics, we could really roam about. But I'm confined to the microphone. But this is something that comes up, and I, as a commissioner, see the same struggle that you had then and have now. So I think this addresses that concern. This is something that was raised in the hearing we had in January. The chairman mentioned that, where we had a lot of ideas presented. The audit hearing was one. This was another one. But we also had comments that said the AO process isn't broken, so don't try to fix it. So this doesn't do a lot of changes. It really addresses, I think, narrow concerns. There's only three names on this document because it went blue before we really got all the changes in there. My understanding, though, there is consensus on this. I don't want to speak for others. But the intent is to make this something that everyone can live with. So simply because there's three names on the cover memo, I, without getting ahead of myself, think to the extent anyone wants to take credit, there's six commissioners and a lot of staff and a lot of work that takes full credit for all of it. So that's my piece, and I will yield back, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Commissioner. Any other commissioners wish to make a comment? Commissioner Weintraub.
I've got a question, actually. I think that some of our changes sort of, there might have been something that the timetable on the back summary might have, Is this good? I'm sorry. I thought somebody had sent something this morning that one of the changes didn't get incorporated in both places, but I'm told that it has. So never mind. I'll just say that, again, I really appreciate all the work that went in, particularly in the last 24 hours, to exchange words, and this really does represent a consensus and reflects a lot of edits from everybody, and I thought that was a very productive and helpful process. And this is something that I've really been wanting to do for a long time, so I'm glad to be doing it.
Commissioner Hunter.
Thank you to OGC, who did the initial draft of this and were very helpful and timely in their comments back to us on various drafts. We really appreciate that. I just want to make two minor points. One is that we also put something in here that we hope puts the burden on the commissioners, and it's not a staff issue in this case. Most 90% of the time, it's an issue of the commissioners getting the first draft out in an appropriate amount of time so that the public can comment on it and people can decide whether or not they want to come in and present, or I shouldn't say present, be available for questions at the commission. So we did put that in there, and we hope that incentivizes the commissioners to sort of move our work ahead a few days, and I think that'll make life better for everybody. And the other point I wanted to make, it's in the document, but that the right to appear only allows somebody to essentially to sit at that table and answer questions. So I don't want people to get all excited that this means sort of like an oral presentation, all of that. We decided that at this point in time is probably not needed in the process. But at a minimum, people can be available to answer questions. And I think that it's worth noting that there are many advisory opinions where we probably won't have any questions. So I just want to make sure that the public isn't really excited about talking when there might be times where we don't have anything to talk about at all. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Barrett.
Thank you. And you didn't get ahead of yourself. I'd be happy to support this draft. I'd have been happy to put my name on it had that opportunity been presented. And I think this did take a lot of work, and we really do appreciate all the consultation that's happened over the past couple of days. And I want to echo Commissioner Hunter's statement about all the staff work that went into this and OGC's first drafting of this. We appreciate all of your thoughts on this. Obviously, there are people in the building who've been doing the AO process a lot longer than some of us. I think Mr. Johnny Levin probably might take the record on that one, but so we appreciate all of your advice on that. And with that, I would be happy to support your the draft 0939.
Thank you. Anyone would like to make a motion? Mr. Weintraub.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I move approval of agenda document 09-39 and also authorize the staff to make technical and conforming amendments. They're so thrilled when we remember that and to place it in the Federal Register. That's it.
Just one more point.
Commissioner, again.
Commissioner Hunter, in her comments, reminded me of this. Just to give credit where credit's due, this is the actual original document. This was actually prepared by the Office of General Counsel in response to the hearing and some comments we had made, you know, at various AOs, primarily me, because, well, some of us have the gift of the gab, I guess. And I really appreciate counsel taking the initiative and preparing sort of the working draft, because sometimes you just need to do it and it gets momentum and then, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. And this is really a case where this wouldn't have happened without our general counsel taking the initiative. So I appreciate that. And I really think it's great when everyone's involved and we do it that way, because it can be done. And it happens more often than people think. There's certain issues where it doesn't, and that's clear, and everyone can read about that on blogs and whatnot, but there's many issues in how to run the agency, that sort of thing, where there really is a lot of common ground here, and I think this is another example of that. And again, I want to thank the chairman for putting it on the agenda and, you know, helping move this along and all that, and I intend to support the motion.
Thank you. Any further comment? And anything further? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes 6-0.